Grace and peace be unto you. Welcome each of you to Ignite, our weekly broadcast centered on infusing you with the Word of God, inciting His power, and provoking His passion within you. Our desire is that our broadcast will establish growth, new zeal, and God's purpose for your life. This is Pastor Lakeisha Camp Grant, founder of A Diamond in the Rough Ministries, and I will be your weekly infuser. I am delighted at the opportunity to usher you into the best part of your life. Stay tuned.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Ignite. This is Apostle Lakeisha Grant, and I am the founder and the senior pastor here at A Diamond in the Rough Ministries. We are located in the beautiful city of Richmond, Virginia at 6209 Lakeside Avenue. Amen. I am excited that you all are in my hearing on this afternoon. I pray that everybody has had a wonderful week and that the Lord has been blessing you abundantly. You've had the opportunity to be productive, get some things done in your personal life, get some things done at your prospective places of employment. Just get some things done. Maybe some people have been on vacation this week and you just had a chance to chill. That's a blessing, too, to just to be able just to do a whole bunch of nothing. And sometimes that's pretty doggone good. Amen. Whatever your space, wherever you're at, whatever you experienced on this week, to God be the glory. Amen. I'm excited about our studies. I'm excited about what we've been studying about over the last couple of weeks. Amen. I do want to say this, if this is your first time joining us for our Ignite Live broadcast, and this is your first time hearing about A Diamond in the Rough Ministries, and you're not familiar with me, Apostle Lakeisha, I invite you to go to our website, which is www.ditrministries.com. There you'll find all kinds of interesting information regarding our ministry, who we are, and anything you would want to know, any connections that you might want to make as far as our social media pages. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. We're doing a little Periscope now. So we are doing all kinds of wonderful things, and we would love for the opportunity to connect with you in some way, shape, or form. Again, go to our website, and that's www.ditrministries.com, and there you're going to find all of that information. But as I was saying, I am really excited. My heart is so elated about our teachings that we have been going through over the last couple of weeks. I pray that those who have been listening to the teachings over the last couple of weeks, when we're talking about yesterday, today, who are we? I pray that if you have not listened to any of our previous teachings, that you go back and you listen to the first two as we try our best to finish out today. I don't know if we're going to finish, but we're going to try our best. Amen. But these teachings have been thought-provoking, and that's what I want them to do. When the Lord instructed me to teach this, my desire was not to emotionalize you. My desire was not to get you in a place of an emotional roller coaster, but my desire in this teaching was to provoke you to think. Provoke you to think outside of what is familiar, provoke you to think outside of what is comfortable, provoke you to take up some time and begin to study, begin to open up your Bible, begin to ask God those hard questions. That's what I pray that this time has done for you, because it has done that for me. It is provoking more questions. It is causing my eyes to be open to different things. It is causing me to be able to perceive the world around me different and to understand the world around me different. It is causing me to be a thinker and not just a doer or a reactor or just to passively wait for things to happen, but to allow. It's causing me to think about the whole situation and about life and how I handle people and how I desire for people to handle me. So Again, this is the whole point of this message, to provoke you out of your comfort zone into a place of, I want you to be uncomfortable. Because when you're in a place of uncomfortable, uncomfortability provokes change. It causes us to want to change. And so that is my desire for you all in our teaching. So we're going to go ahead and start our teaching on tonight, because I have a whole lot that I want to get through on tonight, and I hope I get a chance to get done. So we're just going to go on. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we bless you on tonight. We give you glory on tonight. God, we worship your holy name on tonight. Oh, God, we say unto you on tonight that there is none like you. We glorify you in the beauty of holiness on tonight. We lift up our voices to you on tonight and say hallelujah. We bless your holy name, oh, God, because you are worthy to be praised. You are worthy to be glorified. You are worthy to be magnified. You are worthy to be edified. Oh, God, we thank you, Father God, for if we even had 10,000 tongues, your word decrees that we would not even have the capacity to praise you enough. So, oh God, on tonight, we're going to give you a praise with just the one tongue that we have. We're going to halal you with the one tongue that we have. We're going to barak you with the one tongue you have. We're going to lift up our voices to you on tonight. Oh God, we pray now in the name of Jesus, as we have set the stage in our praise, and as we have set the stage in our worship, that you will now, Father God, pour out your spirit upon us, oh God. Pour out your spirit of truth upon us. Pour out your wisdom upon us, God. Give us understanding and knowledge, Father, in the name of Jesus. We are thirsty to hear from you on tonight. We're thirsty to hear what you have to say from us on tonight. We have a thirst, oh God, that you are the only thirst quencher that is able to sustain us, oh God. So we're looking for you to speak to us on tonight. Speak to us like never before. Encourage our hearts like never before. Father God, show us, Father God, the revelatory power that comes out of your word. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray and give thanks. Amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, hallelujah. That's the name of Jesus. I'm having a little bit of computer problems tonight, so y'all bear with me. Good gracious. Thanks for giving me the business. But anyway, hallelujah, as we are focusing on our lesson on tonight. Now, we were talking about last week about looking at these blessings. You know, we were talking about the blessings on last week. We were looking at the blessings, and this week we're going to be looking at the curse. And as you all know, on last week we were looking from the blessings from a perspective of a personal aspect. And that means, meaning how these blessings are applied directly to you. That's you in your person, you in your personal life. Then we were looking at it from a family aspect. We were looking at how these blessings have fallen upon our families, how our families would look. How would it look when these blessings begin to fall upon our families? Then we were looking at these blessings from a cultural aspect. Remember I said on last week that when we look at these curses and when we look at these blessings, we don't want to just look at them from just an internal perspective, but we wanted to three-dimensionalize this aspect, or three-dimensionalize our understanding of these blessings and curses, that it's not just about me and mine, but it's about the fullness, it's about me, it's about my family, and it's also about my community. Now, understand that the premise of the teaching, amen, and I know last week the teaching was pretty strong. It was really strong. But let me help everybody understand that the teaching is not to exclude anyone, but the teaching is to bring us into an understanding that there is no way we can get out of something. Amen. From a personal aspect, from a family aspect, from a cultural aspect, until we find the seed which was planted that caused our vineyards to be overgrown and unproductive. I'm going to say that again. There is no way, shape, or form we can get out of a situation. There is no way, shape, or form we can rectify a situation. There's no way, shape, or form that we can fix a situation until we find the seed that was planted that caused the situation to go awry from the beginning. So I say that from the perspective that when we look on the news, we see, amen, and now even as we look on the news, we see that the news or the things that are transpiring in our world is broken down into a three-part attack. Now, I'm going to show you all this. It's a three-part attack that is happening as we speak. What am I saying? What I'm saying is, first, there is a personal attack. We have an attack. It's an onslaught on our children. Now, this is personal to us. Many of us have children. Our children are being shot down. Our children are being abducted. Our children are being raped. Our children are being victimized. Some of our children are even being victimized by their own parents. It is crazy. And so this is from a personal perspective. This is what's happening to us personally. And then we have a family type situation where now the institution of the family has been changed. It is no longer what the Lord said at the beginning of time in Genesis, but now it's what the government has sanctioned to be what the family looks like. And so we have the three aspects working. We have the first aspect, which is the personal aspect. That is an onslaught attack on our children. And then we have the family aspect, the breaking down of the family unit. And then we have it from a perspective of a cultural or a community attack. If we look around, I mean, I saw a story on today, and it was talking about that, gosh, I can't remember where it was at, but there was some kind of village that the ISIL forces had went into and began to attack people in the village who were, it was like, I think it was the biggest Christian. Gosh, I'm so sorry. I don't know. I read the story and I didn't save that name in my head. But there's an onslaught on Christians. There's an onslaught on Christians internationally. Hallelujah. There's an onslaught on Christians in the homeland. And so there is an attack on these three dimensions that we're talking about. That when we're looking at this text, we're coming from. This is what's going on in our everyday lives right now. And the reality is we don't see this because we have not been able to gain a full understanding of the power of the Bible. Because, again, we only see the Bible as, just like a little bedtime story. Oh, hallelujah, that makes me feel good. Oh, I like the book of Job. Oh, I like the book of David. I mean, I like the book of Psalms, and I like Proverbs, and, oh, that's my favorite book. Or we look at it as like little nursery rhyme things that just make us feel good. We don't look at the Bible from the perspective that it's a historical document. And that when we begin to read and understand properly, it has the ability to unlock some things from our past and our present struggles. I'm going to say that again. When we begin to look at the Bible from a historical perspective, not just a spiritual perspective, but a historical perspective, then that will begin to unlock or bring some understanding as to some things that have transpired in the past. And also, it brings us up to understand why we're facing some things that we're facing right here in our present time. Amen. Amen. The Bible is essential for us to understand it from every aspect, from all dimensions, so we can fully grab a hold of it. Hallelujah. Listen, a lot of times when we read the Bible, we don't get into the depths of the Bible because we've been trained into this perspective of, oh, we win in the end. Oh, yes, we win. We glad about that. We win in the end, baby. We win in the end. And so that's how we read our Bibles. That's how we study our Bibles. We study our Bibles. We pull out all the happy scriptures. We put out all the scriptures that make us feel good. We put out all of the scriptures that encourage our hearts. We pull out all of those scriptures. Hallelujah. We pull out all of the stuff that makes us feel good. But we forget that there was a whole Bible that was written. Now, let me ask a question. Yes. Jesus did die for us. Yes, we went in the end. But why, if that was the case, then all we would have needed was a couple of scriptures. All we need for salvation is just a couple of scriptures, and that's it. We don't know. Why do we even need the whole Bible? If that's how we're going to live, that Jesus went in the end, that's all we need to do. That's all we need to know. Why would we need the whole Bible? That confuses me because a lot of times it's like we don't want the whole Bible. We only want the pieces of the Bible that make us feel good. But listen, the Father saved us because it is our job to the world to show the world that Christ has us, or that Christ is in us, and that Christ died. Amen. That when He died and He rose up in us. Hallelujah. We still got Jesus on the cross, and we need to take Him off the cross and show the world that He lives in us. And He lives in us by us getting enough of this word on the inside of us that we begin to mirror what the word says. And not just part of the word, but all of the word. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Not just some of the word, but all of the word. Now, the Old Testament gives, amen, the Old Testament gives story after story, providing, approving from Genesis through Malachi of how our sins put Jesus on the cross. We seem to forget that when we think about the fullness of the Bible. And we think about, oh, He won in the end. But when we think about the fullness of the whole Bible, we have to understand from Genesis to Malachi, from Genesis all the way to the end, the whole Bible was talking about how we put Jesus on the cross. Our sins put Jesus on the cross. That's what they did. I was looking at and I'm going somewhere with this, so y'all stick with me. I'm going somewhere with this. I was looking at a story, and this was last week when the Pope was here, and people got a little angry because they said that the Pope, he made a quote, and the quote said that Christ's ministry was a failure. That's what the Pope said. That was a quote that he made. He said something to that recollection. Now, I'm not going to say it was an exact quote, but this is what was conveyed in the news. You know, sometimes the news, they distort all kinds of stuff, but this is what they were contending, that the Pope was saying that Jesus' ministry was a failure. And what was so interesting about the whole thing was that the Christian community was outraged. Oh, boy, the Christian community was hot. How can the Pope say something like that? How can he minimize the ministry of Jesus Christ? But it kind of made me think about this. I say, how in the world can this man make such an assertion about the very foundation of what we as Christians build, right? Okay, so this is what I said in my head. But then I begin to think, the truth of the matter is, because we as Christians, we give people the leg to stand on making these assertions about us, because we give them the bullets to massacre our Lord. Why? Because we keep Jesus on the cross and we won't allow Him to live in us.
Jesus.
We keep Him on the cross. We do the same thing they're doing. Mm-hmm. We keep sending Jesus to the cross, and we won't allow Him to live in us because we won't receive the fullness of the whole word. We only want a part of the word. So we only want to stand under the cross and get the blood. Hallelujah. But we don't want, amen, we don't want to receive the resurrection power. Glory to God. We all under the cross. There's a whole bunch of folks just stuck under the cross. Jesus gone off. That dried up blood, and you trying to just get a little bit of the dried up blood. And He said, baby, I done resurrected, and now I'm supposed to be in you. But because we only want a portion of that, then we miss the fullness of, you know, having that relationship, because we don't want the fullness of the word. So what am I saying? How does that have anything to do with Deuteronomy 28? I'm glad you asked, because I had to bring all of that up, because all of the things that I said on last week, I knew was strong. I knew they were strong, that I was saying those things last week, and I know that some who were listening to me were like, whoa, wait a minute. I ain't for all of this, you know, black, white, all this. My discussion is not about colorism. My discussion is not about race. My discussion is speaking to a people who don't know themselves, speaking to a people who have an identity but have been caught up in the identity of many other people over decades and have no idea who you really are. How in the world can we bring our community back in order if we continue to reject who we are as a people? It's amazing to me. And so I knew what I was saying was strong on last week, but I'm not going to take it back. I'm not going to change, because I truly believe in what I preach. I believe that this is what the Lord has instructed us to do, and I believe that this is the time that we need to come into this type of knowledge. Amen?
Amen.
So, with all that being said, hallelujah. Glory to God. With all going to jump right into Deuteronomy chapter 28. Amen. Because I had to say all that so that we can be receptive to what God is about to say now in regards to these curses. Because, y'all, we talked about last week, we talked about the blessings. So if you did not hear the broadcast on last week, go back and listen to the broadcast where we talked about the blessings of the Lord. Because many people, they preach Deuteronomy 28 and they preach the blessings. But I'm telling you, when you start getting to these curses, then you're going to be able to look at personally, look at your family, and look at this from a culture. And so now we can get to the point of start breaking some things off of our culture that we have been entrenched in for decades. Oh, my gosh. Okay. So, amen, we're going to start at verse 15. And the Bible says, the Bible reads, however, if you do not obey the Lord your God and do not carefully follow all his commands and decrees I am giving you today, all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Okay, so we were talking about, last week we talked about the blessing. So, you know, we had spoke the week before that about an agreement that we as the people made with God. We made an agreement with him. At the beginning, we talked about the curses that would potentially happen, amen, or what we agreed to with God, amen. If you go back to Deuteronomy 27, you'll find where the agreement was made with us and God. And so he said, now that you made your agreement with me, if you keep your end of the deal, I'm going to bless you. So then last week we talked about the blessing. Yes, this is what you'll get as long as you keep your end of the deal. But now we're going to talk about what happens when you don't keep your end of the deal. Now, again, when we look at this, guys, I don't want you to just look at it personally. I want you to look at it personally. I want you to look at it from your family. And then I want you to step all the way back. And I want you to look at it as a community, culturally, how this has affected us. The first curse is this. The Bible says in verse 16, it says, you will be cursed in the city and cursed in the country. What does that mean? That means you can't catch a break here or wherever you go. So that means you're going, no matter where you, what you do, no matter where you go, no matter how you try to do it, it's never going to work out for you. It's never going to be productive. It's never going to grow. Hallelujah. It's never, ever going to grow. So that tells us that is a curse. Amen. That's a curse. That's one of the first curses that comes, amen, with our disobedience to God. Now, let me go on further because we're going to find ourselves in this text. Mm-hmm. Verse 17 says, your basket and your kneading trough will be cursed. And when I look up the King James Version, it says, thy basket and thy store. What does that mean? That means whatever you buy going to be cursed and whatever you shop going to be cursed. Oh, now see, now we can look in our communities and we find that. Amen. We can't. They don't sell good products in our community. Oh, come on now. They don't sell good products in more of the urban communities. Yeah. Hallelujah. And then the places you shop don't have no appreciation for you in the urban communities. Am I right or wrong? Amen. Now, we're looking at this culturally. Now, we can make it personal, but I need us to look at it from some different perspectives so we can find ourselves and get out of some things. Mm-hmm. Verse 18 then goes on to say, it says, the fruit of your womb will be cursed, the crop of your land, and the calf of your herd, and the lambs of your flock. What is this scripture saying? It's saying your kids going to be cursed, the crop of your land, that means what you own going to be cursed, the calf of your herd, that means your money going to be cursed. Amen. Because during that time, the calves, they were currency. Hallelujah. They used that to buy and sell different things. Hallelujah. They used that as a form of currency. So the scripture is saying your children are going to be cursed. What you own going to be cursed. Your money going to be cursed. Your investments are going to be cursed. You're never going to be able to open your own businesses. Every time you try to open your own businesses, there's always going to be a problem. Every time you try to invest your money in something, it's always going to break down. It's never going to work for you when you're disobedient to God. Now, again, we can look at it personally. We can look at it from the aspect of our family. But I really want you to put your glasses on and step back and look at it from a cultural aspect. Verse 19 says, you will be cursed when you come in and cursed when you go out. When you go, whatever you do is going to be cursed, and whenever you try to finish, meaning you're going to have an inability to finish anything. We're not going to be productive. You won't be a productive people. Does that sound familiar? You won't be a productive people. Now, I know it's hard for us to make it a cultural thing, but I really want you to hear this. I really want you to hear this. Hallelujah. Are you getting it? You getting it or not? Okay. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And then we're going to go to verse 20. The Lord will send on you curses, confusion, and rebuke in everything you put your hand to until you are destroyed and come to sudden ruin because of the evil you have done in forsaking him. Hallelujah. That's good right there. That's so good right there, because what does that mean? What do we see in the media now? Mass confusion of identity. Amen. We got trust issues with each other as a community, especially within the black community. Amen. The women don't trust each other. The women don't trust the men. The men don't trust the women. It's always confusion. The kids all out of whack. It's always drama. It's always something going on. We always fighting for something. We always in a struggle for something. Amen. But this is what the word says. The curse will come to those who are disobedient. Now, maybe you're thinking, well, why is it you're saying it's just us that's cursed? No, I'm not saying it's just us as a race that's cursed. What I'm saying is, if this is talking about that, then that means we're the people that the book is talking about. Amen. So what I'm doing is I'm exposing, amen, a reality. Amen. We don't want to talk about the bad things, but we have to be able to see these bad things in order to get to the good things. Hallelujah. And then verse 21. It says, verse 21 says, the Lord will plague you with diseases until he has destroyed you from the land you are entering to possess. And then 22 says, the Lord will strike you with wasting disease, with fever and inflammation, with scorching heat and drought, with blight and mildew, which will plague you until you perish. Let's look around our community. Diabetes, cancer, high blood pressure, HIV, AIDS, lupus, sickle cell anemia, and watch this, the biggest killer of our community, addiction. Oh, my God. How can a community be secure and develop if the people in it are always sick? How can it grow if the people are always sick? But because of the disobedience of a people, then it will cause a whole community. Oh, my gosh, Jesus. Because of the disobedience of a people, it causes the whole community to be unproductive. Verse 23, the sky over your head will be bronze, and the ground beneath you will be iron. Again, the curse of unproductivity, not being able to be productive. Look at some of our young people. They are not productive. Amen. A lady said to me the other day that lives in my neighborhood. She said, you know, our kids nowadays, these are different breed of kids. They don't have no get up and go about them, which is true. We have to push them and prime them. Well, that's because we spoil them, but that's a whole other conversation. We got to push them and prime them and convince them. They don't have no get up and go the way we did. And then because we came from a different space and our parents taught us some different things. Hallelujah. But there is we go from generations. We have generations of productivity. Then we have generations of unproductivity. Hallelujah. Then verse 24, the Lord will turn the rain of your country into dust and powder. It will come down from skies until you are destroyed. Watch this. Now, when I read this right here, y'all, this one messed me up. This one messed me up right here. This said, even those resources that are supposed to bring productivity and growth will fail. What does that mean? A lot of the rich celebrities, where do they take their resources? To Africa,
everywhere else,
yeah. But to the urban community. Yeah. Now, I'm not saying all of them do, but most of them do. Why is it that if the South Side of Chicago is played, if Detroit is played, why is it going to Africa and why the resources are not going to Detroit? Why are the resources not going to Chicago? Why are the resources not going to these these areas in their homeland that are destitute. Just a question.
Right.
But see, and we think, oh, it's because they're selfish or whatever. No, no, no. You have to think, is it because it's a curse? Is it because it's the hand of God that we're holding the favor that they might want to display?
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Okay. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Listen. Then verse 24. The Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. You will come at them for one direction, but flee from them in seven. And you will become a thing of horror to all the kingdoms on the earth. Now, we look back at the black movement of the 50s, 60s, and 70s, and we see powerful men and women within the community instituting change, growth, and development. And then all of a sudden, they were gone.
You know,
all of them. Nobody left.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody. Where'd it happen?
Mm-hmm.
Where'd it happen? Okay. All right. Then it goes on at 26, says, your carcasses will be food for all the birds and wild animals, and there will be no one to frighten them away. We say Black Lives Matter, but really, the curse that was imposed says they don't.
Right.
Mm. Then the Bible says that in 27, the Lord will afflict you with boils of Egypt and with tumors, festering sores, and itch from which you cannot be cured. Now watch this. I find it interesting that the word says that the afflictions came from Egypt, because in Egypt, some of their idols were, they made gold tumors and gold boils and things of that nature. Is it that, is this a curse of wanting to be or wanting to have something that is not supposed to be for us, wanting to be like somebody else? And so it has inflicted a curse upon us. That we have rejected our own culture, we have rejected our own likeness, and we've taken on the likeness of others, we've taken on their likeness, and so that has imposed a curse upon us, because we want to wear their hair, we want to dress like them, they tell us how to dress, come on, they tell us how to speak, they tell us, oh, you have to be bougie, or if you're not bougie, then you don't fit in, we can't at all just be. At all. And we have to have three different personalities. You got to have one personality when you go to the job. You got to have another personality when you're around your buddies. And you got to have another personality when you're at the church. We have to be the most, what's the word I want to use? It's like we have to be chameleon. We just can't be. We got to try to fit into a culture. We have to try to fit into a culture that tells us how to think, that tells us how to speak, that tells us how to do everything, tells us how to dress. Is that a part of a curse that has been imposed on us? That this system has been telling us what to do so long. Now we want it. We thirst for it. We crave it. We need this system to validate us. Is that a curse? Mm. Just asking the question. Verse 28, the Lord will afflict you with madness, blindness, and confusion of mind. Now that validates verse 27 right there. That just goes right back to validate verse 27. And then 29 said, at midday you will grope about like a blind person in the dark. You will be unsuccessful in everything you do. Day after day you will be oppressed and robbed with no one to rescue you. Interesting. Okay. Verse 30 says, You will be pledged to be married to a woman, but another will take her and rape her. You will build a house, but you will not live in it. Who built the White House?
Jesus.
Oh, okay. But you feel like you're in it now, but you're really not in it. You're really not in it.
See,
I ain't even gonna go there. But we say we in it. No, you ain't in it. No. You better check your record. Because it ain't African American. No, it's Kenyan and Caucasian. And they are, okay. Anyway, all right, let me, I'm going to go there because I'm going to leave it alone. You will build a house, but you won't live in it. You will plant a vineyard, but you will not even begin to enjoy its fruit. Oh, gosh. Verse 31. Your ox will be slaughtered before your eyes, but you will eat none of it. Your donkey will be forcibly taken from you, and will not be returned. Your sheep will be given to your enemies, and no one will rescue them.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 32, your sons and daughters will be given to another nation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say that again.
Mm-hmm.
Your sons and daughters will be given to another nation. Huh. I'm just saying, can we find ourselves in the text?
Yeah.
Who else ancestors been given to another nation? I'm just asking.
Mm-hmm.
Just asking a question. And you will wear out your eyes watching for them day after day, powerless to lift a hand. Verse 33, a people that you do not know will eat what your land and labor produce. Oh, my. And you will have nothing but cruel oppression all your days. Oh, my gosh. Are you serious? Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. I'm saying, can we find ourselves in the text?
Yes, we can.
We can find ourselves. I'm just trying to bring the Bible to life to us. It's not a story. This is a historical book.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And many of us have no idea that it's a history that everybody else has a history except us. But what is so weird about believing that this book could be our history?
Mm-hmm.
What is so diabolical in believing that? What is so treacherous in believing that? I would love for someone to say that if everybody else has a history that they can connect to, with the exception of American blacks, and we found our history in this book, what could be so wrong with that? There's absolutely nothing wrong with it. Our Mexican brothers and sisters, they have a heritage. Our Latino brothers and sisters have a heritage. Our Caucasian brothers and sisters have a heritage. Our Irish brothers and sisters have a heritage. Russians have a heritage. Haitians have a heritage. Dominicans have a heritage. Puerto Ricans have a heritage. What is so wrong with us as Black Americans finding our heritage? See, that's where we went wrong, and because we've been convinced that we don't need to know what our heritage is. See, they told us that our life began in slavery. And see, that's what we connect with. Everything is at slavery. Don't know. Did anybody ever ask the question, well, what the world was the people before they were slaves? You keep telling me we were slaves. Listen, and the thing about it is because we have been told for so long that we were just slaves. You're just slaves. You came from slaves. What has that done? That has instituted a mentality. It has instituted a mentality. So that's how people operate, as slaves. Hallelujah. But we came from a culture. That's all I'm trying to convey, guys. That's all I'm trying to convey is just, can we just think?
Mm-hmm.
I just want us to think.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to re-indoctrinate you or bring something totally. What I'm saying is, if everybody has a culture they can connect to and we don't, what is so wrong with this? Can this
yeah.
amazingly
mm-hmm.
to be the culture that we've been looking for the whole time?
Mm-hmm.
That's why maybe we couldn't fit into the African culture. Maybe we couldn't fit into the other cultures. But this is because this is where we came from. It's amazing to me that we believe the Bible, but if I preach this, people would think I'm crazy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But you say you believe the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but what about the people that's over in Israel? Well, we talked about that on last week. Israel was found in May of 1948. So that means the people that were there were planted there. They're transplants.
Right.
Where they came from?
Mm-hmm.
Who are they? So that means the people who are there are not the original people.
Right.
That's all I'm saying. Not whoever they are, but they're not. But at the end of the day, it can be okay if there's another people.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. So where did I stop? I stopped at 32, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And 33 says, mm-hmm. a people that you do not know will eat what? Okay, I read that one. 34, your sight you see will drive you mad. And that's going on now. We want everything we see driving us crazy. That's why our kids on TV acting all crazy. Everything we see it drives us because we want it so bad. We want the American dream. We want everything that is sold to us. We are so hungry with our eyes.
Yeah.
We want it. We want it, and it's making us crazy. It's making us forfeit who we are. It's making us compromise who we are because we want it so bad. 35 says, the Lord will afflict your knees and legs with painful boils that cannot be cured, spreading from the soles of your feet to the top of your head. 36, the Lord will drive you and the king you set over you to a nation unknown to you or your ancestors. I'm just going to let that just, can that just marinate? I'm just saying, can it just marinate? Okay. There, you will worship other gods, gods of wood and stone. What is that? Idol worship. So you get brought over, you get brought over to another country, and they teach you their way of believing. Ooh, they teach you about the American dream. They teach you about, the survival of the fittest. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. When we come from a culture that is a communal culture, mm-hmm. they teach us to divide and conquer. Ooh. Lord, help me. Lord Jesus. Okay. 37. You will become a thing of horror, a byword, and an object of ridicule among all the peoples where the Lord will drive you. Everybody says, y'all always complaining. Y'all ain't never happy about nothing. And the crazy part about it, you wonder, like, what is so much of the hate about? What should be?
Right.
Is it really because my color is different from yours? Is it that minute? Do we have that much of an issue because of color? That is crazy. I mean, Creons in a box can get along.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Creons in a box. If color was an issue, why didn't we just put one color in the crayon box and that's it? No, because color is beautiful. Uniqueness is beautiful. Difference is beautiful. But we found so much animosity and colorism.
Wow.
Even within our own race, which is absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
38 says, you will sow much seed in the field, but you will harvest little because locusts will devour it. Never again, not being productive.
Mm-hmm.
39, you will plant vineyards and cultivate them, but you will not drink the wine or gather grapes because worms will eat them.
Mm-hmm.
You will have olive trees throughout your country, but you will not use the oil because the olive will drop off. You will have sons and daughters, but you will not keep them because they will go into captivity.
Mm-hmm.
Swarms of locusts, 42, will take over all your trees and crops of your land. 43. And that's everywhere. That's even over on the African continent, where they've taken over their land there.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And all the land that was acquired here, even after we came out of slavery, that was taken. All of those things, the Black Wall Street destroyed everything. Every communal neighborhood that we've tried to establish has been demolished, has been destroyed. 42, swarms of locusts will take over all your trees and crops of your land. 43, and this is the last one. The foreigners who reside among you will rise above you higher and higher, but you will sink lower and lower. This is what's funny to me, is those people who we put on a high pedestal, they are the most depraved. Think about it. The people in our community who are on the highest pedestal are the most depraved. So the other people have gone higher and higher in creating systems, computer systems, all these different things that they've created, they've gone higher and higher. We have gone higher in the aspect of becoming better celebrities, more ratchet, all of these different things that now we give credence to. So at the end of the day, what does all this mean to us? It means that personally, we have a lot to work on. That's personally us.
Right.
Just ourselves. And then it means through our families, we have a lot to work on. Because when we look at this whole thing, this doesn't affect us personally. But when we really look at it, this is a family issue. A family issue. And then we have a lot to do culturally.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the reality. Many people have taken advantage of the curse. This is what's funny. A lot of people know who we are. Do some research. A lot of people know who we are. We just don't know it. This is the funny thing. This is the funny, especially in the church. Many people know who we are. We don't know who we are. We have no idea who we are. And so what has happened is because of our ignorance, many people have taken advantage. advantage of the curses that have been imposed upon us, and they have allowed themselves to be open to oppressing us, to killing us, to raping us, to dismantling our families, and continuing to flood our community with negative images. We help them too. But this is the key point. We cannot be cursed unless we choose to disobey.
Yeah, right.
So at the end of the day, these things have been imposed on us as a culture because we have decided to go against. We have rejected the truth of God. We have rejected who we are in God. We have not kept our word based on Deuteronomy 27. We did not keep our word. Now, this is the whole thing, and I said this all the way at the beginning of the teaching. There's a difference between a sin and a curse. Sin we can repent for, and that's what Jesus died for. Jesus died so that we could place our weight, our sins, our cares upon us because he cares for us. But curses have to be broken. And in order for a curse to be broken, you have to first identify that a curse was imposed. And many of the problems that we face culturally are based on curses. And the reason we have not been able to come out of those things is because we don't realize that a curse has been imposed, or we don't accept it, and so then we don't break it. And so we continue to perpetuate the same negative generation after generation after generation after generation. And as soon as someone comes to bring forth a truth, we don't want to hear it. That's wrong. We just want to hear the happy stuff. But in order to break the curse, we have to know that a curse was imposed and that we broke a law.
Amen.
And if we have to go back and rectify that.
Amen.
We have to stop giving people the bullets to shoot. And this comes by hearing the truth, accepting the truth, making the adjustment from the truth. This is one step at a time. It's not going to happen overnight. It's not going to happen overnight. It's not going to be, oh, we're going to wake up tomorrow, our community is going to be perfect, everything's going to be perfect, life is going to be perfect. It's not going to work like that. Nothing that has been foundationally built over hundreds of years can be changed overnight. But we can make small personal adjustments. This is what we can say. We can say that I no longer want to participate in continuing a curse over myself, my family, or my community. Why do we have to have this teaching? Why was this teaching essential? And why is this teaching not a popular teaching? Amen. Because the reality is things like this really don't make you free.
Amen.
This really makes you free. Because you, when you know who you are, then you know how to deal with everybody else. And that doesn't mean you're better than other people. But that means you understand that when I read this word, I know that he's talking to me.
Amen.
I know that he's talking to me. I know that I'm important to him. Amen. So we'll never look at our children with a side eye. They're never going to be nothing. Because this word was written for me and my children. This word was written for us. So no matter how much the enemy wants to try to convince me that this word is not life to me, this word is life. This word is my life.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how we can progress. How are we going to change our community? Coming to, and you know, what's so interesting is a lot of times you see community activists, the one thing they promote in the community when they begin to teach people is self-awareness.
Yes.
Because you cannot teach, you can't bring people out of a system, a negative system, until you bring them into a self-awareness.
Mm-hmm.
So we sit here, we preaching and we hollering and we screaming and we have a church. But everybody's still stuck. It's like we in a little room and everybody's running around in circles. It's running. And people want to get out the door. They want to get into a bigger place. But we can't get into a bigger place because nobody is saying, hey, the door is over here. And then the people who are saying it, you know, well, everybody else running, so I'm going to run with them. Listen, we have to get to the point that we want to be self-aware. We've been talking for a couple of months now about deliverance. This was a whole other level of deliverance, coming into self-awareness,
mm-hmm.
coming into a self-awareness that this is who God says we are.
Amen.
Amen. And this, we have the ability to break these curses off of our families, off of us, off of our family and begin to speak to our communities so that these curses can be broken. So these curses can be broken off of our young men, amen, who feel like they are lost. So that these curses can be broken off of our young women who feel like it's apparently a badge of honor to high five babies and to be ratchet. You know, come on now. Come on now. We got to bring something else to the table. And us as the church, we have to take our level of accountability. And that's why I was teaching this message, because now we're accountable. And so now we can do what God has sanctioned us to do. Amen.
Amen.
I pray that this teaching has been a blessing. I pray, amen, you share this teaching with somebody. Share it with somebody. Amen. Talk about this with somebody. Amen. Challenge somebody's belief system. Challenge their belief system. Amen. Challenge somebody's belief system. Tell them that this, because stop being just in the church. Get some church in you.
Yeah.
Challenge their belief system to this word. Come on. This is what the Lord says about us. Amen. We do. God, he does want us to be blessed. Amen. But we got to be careful, because we don't want to fall into the condemnation of the curse.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't want to. Because first of all, we're rejecting the truth of who God says we are. And then secondly, we're dismissing the law like it was never supposed to be. So again, I pray that this message was a blessing to all who are under the sound of my voice. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this word on tonight. I thank you, Father God, that this word is going to be able to travel throughout the hearts of many and the minds of many. I pray, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that hindering spirit that will cause this word to be rejected, I bind it up and send it back to hell. I bind up the spirit of religion. I bind up the mentality of slavery. I come against the spirit of ignorance. I come against the foundational seed that has been laid, and as I come against the curses that have been imposed on us because of our disobedience, oh God, we pray, Father God, that you will begin to expose those things that even have gone down the line in our family, those things that we have done over in our communities, oh God, that have imposed curses on us. We pray, Father God, for your forgiveness, and we pray that you will break those curses now, break the curses over our children, oh God, break the curses over our relationships, oh God, break the curses off of our families, oh God, break the curses off of our businesses, oh God, break the curses off of our minds, break the curses off of our health, break every curse off of us now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh God, I pray that you will launch us now into our place of purpose, oh God, because we want to walk in the blessings of the Lord, because your word says that the blessings of the Lord are yes and amen, oh God, and many times we don't even know what the blessings are. But your word reminds us in Deuteronomy 28 of all of the blessings that we have the ability to achieve as we walk in obedience to you, oh God. And so, God, we pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that the blessings that are spoken of in Deuteronomy 28 will rest upon our lives, oh God, that our finances will be blessed, our children will be blessed, our health will be blessed, our homes will be blessed, our spouses will be blessed, our businesses will be blessed, our relationships will be blessed. Our going in will be blessed. Our coming out will be blessed. Everything that we, every business venture that we go into will be blessed in the name of Jesus, that we will not be a curse upon the hearts and the minds of other people. But God, when people see us, they'll see favor over our lives, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Doors will be open for us. Opportunities will be made for us. Oh God, I thank you that you're even now stirring up creative ideas in us, oh God, that we don't have to rely on a system to give us what we need, oh God, but your word says you'll give us ideas and witty inventions, oh God, and so we open and avail ourselves to that tonight, oh God, that you will begin to take us to another level in you, oh God. We're ready and we're mature enough to handle it, oh God, because we've received the truth of this word, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And God, we give your name all of the glory, all of the honor, and all of the praise. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. I pray that all of you were blessed by the broadcast on this evening. Again, you can join us for our Sunday morning service at 9:30 a.m. We will be convening here at 6209 Lakeside Avenue in Henrico, Virginia at 9:30 a.m. We invite you to join us if you're able. Glory to God. It would be a blessing for us to see your beautiful faces on Sunday morning. Amen. But my time is up and I got to go. You all have a wonderful weekend. Enjoy yourself. I don't think it's going to rain this weekend. I think it may be a little chilly. Well, chilly for me. 60 degrees is chilly for me. But I hope you all enjoy your weekend. Be blessed. I love you.
Thank you for tuning into Ignite. I pray that something was said on today that has provoked you to seek after God the greater, and that you would make a new commitment to your God-given purpose. We would love to hear your testimonies as to how God is igniting your life. Please contact us at www.ditrministries.com and be encouraged. Time and pressure perfects God's purpose for our lives. No matter how rough things may seem on the outside, you are a diamond in the rough. I love you, and I know God does too. Go in peace.